Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 2, 8 to 11. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." On this Christmas Eve, I'm rather haunted by a painting entitled Nativity with St. Francis and St. Lawrence. The artist was Michelangelo de Medici, hopefully I gave that some justice, whom we know better as Caravaggio, the name of his hometown in Italy. In the painting, look it up sometime, Caravaggio includes two anachronistic, in other words, strangely out of place, figures named St. Francis and St. Lawrence. See, they clearly were not alive at the time of Christ's birth, but their place in the painting can be explained by the fact that this piece was painted as an altarpiece for the oratory, the prayer chapel, at St. Lorenzo, near the Basilica of St. Francis in Palermo, Italy. Further uniqueness sneaks into the painting when Caravaggio decides to costume the nativity figures in the period dress of the 1600s. If that were to be done today, that might look like they were wearing jeans and t-shirts. The realism is stark. He depicts Mary as a weary young woman, slouching, disheveled, and exhausted from travel and giving birth. The Christ child rests on a pile of hay at her feet, while Joseph surveys the scene. What haunts me, though, about this painting is the darkness that permeates the scene. See, I do sometimes forget that the announcement of Jesus' birth came first to the shepherds who, right, were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Contrast the night sky over the Judean hills was not only an angel of the Lord, but the bright glory of the Lord shining around them. Against the dark night sky came this luminous message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. See, in one snapshot of time, there is dark, there is night, there dark and light, night and day. And the darkness of night is all over this painting. See, out of the darkness, an almost unnatural light falls on the figures of Caravaggio's painting. In fact, he would become known for his avid use of chiaroscuro, the technique of painting darkness and shadows and importing light on the figures that he wants you to see. To the extreme that the often copied style was called tenebrism. From the Latin tenebrae for darkness, you may have heard of that, right? In Lent, this is where we accent light shining in darkness. Another name for this technique is called nightlight. And I love this technique for its use of darkness and light makes this painting so poignant at Christmas time. Caravaggio's style makes me think of Isaiah's prophecy, right? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It makes me think of John's words at the beginning of his gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is more, though. For the painting itself was born in darkness. This is where it gets a little interesting, if it hasn't already, right? See, Caravaggio, by all accounts, was a scoundrel. He was a criminal. He drank hard, and he lived hard. He was often angry and known to be explosive. He was frequently in bar brawls, arrested for carrying around a sword without a license, which I guess he had to do at this time of the world, and then for killing somebody with that sword. He was on the run for much of his life, much of his adult life, and he died at the ripe old age of 37. But it was this troubled young man who painted the shadows so that we could see the light. It was this young man's personal pitch-like blackness They made the light that much clearer. And yet that's not all, for on the other side of the painting there is darkness too. See, this painting is gone. It was stolen in 1969, cut from its frame, and it's never been recovered. A rumor circulated for decades that it's been destroyed. There's even a touch of mafia work in there. It's lost forever. A replica was finally placed in the chapel of Palermo in 2015. So in several ways, Caravaggio's Nativity is a narrative about light penetrating the darkness. That was the story of the first Christmas night. And you know, I think that's the story of our lives as well. See, tonight, as much as ever, we can and should hear Jesus say once again, I've come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So, okay, if there's someone here tonight whose darkness has overcome them, someone who lurks about in hiding like Caravaggio, somebody who's haunted and pursued by their guilt, somebody who has made a habit of brawling and battling their way through life, then for you this night there is forgiveness. Forgiveness in the one who took your sin's punishment in your place. There is peace in his blood. For you, the light of Christ has come. And if there's somebody here tonight who thinks that they've kept their darkness hidden or that no one really cares, well, just ask a guy named Lehman Glenn Robert Potter about that. Who's that? Well, law enforcement officers in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania arrested Lehman Glenn Robert Potter for burglary, criminal trespass, and theft after he was alleged to have stolen a pot of meatballs from his neighbor's garage. Authorities said the neighbors reported the meatballs missing after he saw Potter standing in front of his house with sauce on his face. Those same authorities later uncovered the motive, and it was a deep and tangled one. The meatballs were delicious. Potter, though, was arrested and held on bail for $25,000. See, you can try to hide your sin, folks, but there is always evidence. In the light, though, there is hope. In the light, there is healing. In the light, there is cleansing. For you, the light of Christ has come. And if there's somebody here tonight whose darkness is loneliness and isolation, someone for whom their friendships are not enough, someone who can be in a room full of people and still feel utterly alone, then for you this night there is the living presence of one who knew forsakenness in the darkness of the cross. For you, excuse me, the light of Christ has come. If there's somebody here tonight whose darkness is conflict, I mean, you've been at odds with everybody, somebody, for too long, and you are just tired of the battle, then for you tonight, there is peace and reconciliation. For you, the light of Christ has come. If there's somebody here tonight whose darkness is doubt, I mean, you've come just to placate your family, maybe to make your yearly appearance, then for you tonight, the heavens get tousled. Theologian N.T. Wright says it like this: there is all the difference in the world between waking up in a single bed and waking up in a double bed with nobody on the other side. Many in our Western culture may be atheists or agnostics, but they still find themselves wondering why the other side of the bed still feels warm and the sheets a little rumpled. And I think this is true in many ways that were not the case even 10, let alone 30 years ago. Tonight, folks, grace and truth arrives in the rapture of angels singing and a singular babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. For you, the light of Christ has come. And if there's someone here tonight whose darkness is despair, maybe somebody for whom darkness is everywhere, then for you this night, there is hope in the one who said, in the world you will have trouble or tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. For you, the light of Christ has come, because 1 John 1:5, in him there's no darkness at all. And if there's somebody here tonight who cannot find their way in the dark, somebody who's like a sheep without a shepherd, lost in the night, then for you, there is the light to guide you, if you'll only trust him. For you, the light of Christ has come. And if there's someone here tonight for whom the darkness of death seems to be a welcome friend, I mean, you've been thinking about it. Someone who has lost the light of living, then in this night you must hear these words from Dylan Thomas. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. There is still light to live by and purpose for your days. For you, the light of Christ has come. Speaker Scott McKnight, I love it. He says it so well. In one of his messages, he shares this. He says, yellow is not my favorite color. But now that I know the story of Vincent van Gogh, I've come to value yellow differently. McKnight would say, the famous Dutch painter sadly tossed away the truth imparted to him in a Christian home, and he sank into depression and destruction. By the grace of God, he later began to embrace the truth again. His life took on hope, and he gave that hope color. He goes on to say, the best kept secret of Van Gogh's life is that the truth he was discovering is seen in the gradual increase of the presence of the color of yellow in his paintings. See, yellow for Van Gogh evoked the hope and the warmth of the truth of God's love. In one of his depressive periods, seen in the famous The Starry Night, you've seen this probably, right? One finds a yellow sun and yellow swirling stars, but because Van Gogh thought truth was present only in nature, tragically, the church, which stands tall in his painting and should be the house of truth, is about the only item in the painting that shows no traces of yellow. But by the time he painted a painting called The Raising of Lazarus, just look at the difference sometime, his life was on the mend and he began to face the truth about himself. The entire picture is blindingly bathed in yellow light. In fact, Van Gogh went so far as to even put his face on Lazarus to express his own hope in the resurrection. See, this night, it seems, above all other nights, is a night meant to curse the darkness, especially if we've been living in it way too long. And sadly, you know as well as I do, we can all get used to living in the darkness. Emily Dickinson said it this way, we grow accustomed to the dark when light is put away, as when the neighbor holds the lamp to witness her goodbye. A moment, we uncertain step, for newness of the night, then fit our vision to the dark and meet the road erect. At first, the darkness is threatening, right? But as you know, our eyes and lives quickly adjust. As Dickinson would say, we fit our vision to the dark. And we become at home in the darkness. We live there. And yeah, we see enough to get by, but we're missing things. Even if we don't want to admit it, we're missing things. We're missing people. We're missing truth. We're missing goodness. We're missing purpose. We're missing beauty. We're missing life. And then the birth of Christ comes. That great invitation of light upon the earth and our lives, and it doesn't creep up on us like a gradual sunrise where there's gentle hints along the way. No, tonight, it explodes in the night sky of the first Christmas with the glory of God and the angel's song and the light of the world in a barn. And if you're paying any attention at all, you have to respond. For this is the night to hear the good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It will not do to say that you've heard the story before. Okay? I'm here to check that box. Now receive it as news. News that changed history. News that changes your history. Good news that lightens your life. Love and laughter, song and prayer, forgiveness and festivity are all appropriate responses to the news that the light has come. This is a night for the chorus of hoorays and hallelujahs. This is a night for the children of light to walk as children of light. This is the night to let the disheveled virgin, the tired but attempted carpenter, the painted in saints, the bowing shepherd, to point the way from the darkness of our lives into the very light of the world. In fact, if you would take one last look at Caravaggio's Nativity, look closely at the perspective of the painting, from what point of view are you looking at the scene? I mean, just look and see. You are right there. You're right there in the foreground, on your knees next to the shepherd, worshiping the Christ child, the light of the world. Folks, there is room for you. There is room for me there, and there is light to be had. So that's why we sing, that's why we pray, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in what? Thy dark streets shineth an everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And they are. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us today. And bring your light. In Jesus' name, amen.